Hi, friends. We are back. We talked about the in the last episode how forgiveness and following after Christ is so essential for understanding the fatherhood of God. Now we're going to move into the Sacred Heart, the historical setting, meditating on the five wounds of Jesus. With special emphasis on the wound to his heart, was seems to have dated to the 11th or 12th century. Franciscans promoted this practice. In the 1600s, after the Reformation was ravishing Europe, St. John Eudes, who propagated the devotion and even established a feast for it, was first celebrated on August 31st in 1670 in the Grand Seminary in Rennes, France.
Rennes. Just Rennes. R-E-N-N-E-S. Is that what you're saying? R-E-N-N-E-S?
Yeah.
It's just Rennes. The French have lots of extra letters that they just don't use. Just put them in there for decorations.
The fact that he was canonized indicated the church's approval of this devotion. St. Margaret Mary Alacoque.
It's a la coke. It just means to the rooster.
A la coke, to the rooster.
Yeah.
She's a 1600s nun and mystic. Jesus called her the beloved disciple of the Sacred Heart and the heiress of all its treasures. Daughter of Claude
Alacoque. I'd have to see it, but I'm sure that that's where her name derives from. It's from her father.
Yes. And Philiberte Lamine. Margaret was born on July 22nd at La Haute-Cour, Burgundy, France, and was sent to the Port Claire School at Charolais, on the death of her father, a notary, when she was 8 years old. So she loses her father. So we're talking about the fatherhood of God when she was five. At 8 years old, she was bedridden for 5 years with rheumatic fever until she was 15 and early developed a devotion to the Blessed Sacrament. She refused marriage, and in 1671, she entered the Visitation Convent at Paray-le-Monial and was professed the next year. From the time she was 20, she experienced visions of Christ, and on December 27th, 1673, she began a series of revelations that were to continue over the next year and a half. In them, Christ informed her that she was his chosen instrument to spread devotion to his Sacred Heart, instructed her in a devotion that was to become known as the Nine Fridays and the Holy Hour, and asked that the Feast of the Sacred Heart be established. All right, so she loses her dad. She had rheumatic fever for 5 years. She enters the convent. She has these visions. But sufferings kind of continue. It's not like, what does her superior have to say about this? Well, she was rebuffed by her superior, Mother de Saumais, in her efforts to follow the instructions she had received in the visions. She eventually won her over, but was unable to convince a group of theologians. So she didn't have the superior. She didn't have a group of theologians giving their approval of the validity of her apparitions. Nor was she any more successful with many of the members of her community. Her fellow sisters that she ate and sleep with, they didn't believe her. She received the support of Blessed Claude Le Colombier, the community's confessor for a time, who declared that the visions were genuine. And to have a good confessor is a wonderful thing. Yeah. In 1683, opposition in the community ended when Mother Meline was elected superior and named Margaret Mary her assistant. She later became novice mistress, saw the convent observe the Feast of the Sacred Heart privately, beginning in 1686. 2 years later, a chapel was built, at the Paray Le Monial to honor the Sacred Heart. Soon observation of the Feast of the Sacred Heart spread to other visitation convents. Margaret Mary died at the Paray Le Monial on October 17th and was canonized in 1920. She, St. John Eudes, and the Blessed Claude Le Colombier are called the Saints of the Sacred Heart. The devotion was officially recognized and approved by Pope Clement XIII in 1765, 75 years after her death, and her feast day is observed on October the 17th.
Yeah, that, there's still a very, very strong devotion at Paray Le Monial in France. It's actually a very beautiful place to go. I've never been, unfortunately, but many of my friends have been there.
It does sound wonderful. And it is that she had a life of suffering. She, mm-hmm. you know, she had these visions. She told her superior. Her superior didn't believe her. She told the theologians. The theologians didn't believe her. Her community rejected her.
No, it's interesting because I'm reading just a little light reading during this time of the coronavirus. I'm reading the Plague by Albert Camus, it's interesting in there because there's this priest who talks to the person who's writing the chronicles of this plague that's going on in Algeria in modern times. And one of the things that the priest says is that, you know, all of the day-to-day things that we do, you know, to go to a birthday party and celebrate and be joyful is not hard. There's no challenge there. And yet, true grace really does come from suffering. It is there when the human person is able to most closely identify with God. And all of those blessings that come at a birthday party, well, those are easy to enjoy. But the sufferings that Saint Margaret Mary Alacoque would have suffered, all of those agonies, the derision, those things, they have merited for the church the bounty and the glory of devotion to the Sacred Heart. And surely, and every one of those sorrows that she suffered, in hindsight, she could look back and recognize that each one had individual merit. I mean, especially now, since she's looking at it from the eyes of heaven, to recognize, you know, now she can probably see, oh, when I suffered that, that gained this grace. When I suffered that, that gained this grace. Because nothing is wasted in that, as I said before, in the economy of salvation. All of these sufferings somehow combined together with the love of Christ in the Sacred Heart have such indescribable value.
That's correct.
Each suffering is a pearl of great price.
That's right. And I think we'll go into a little bit. I was supposed to have recalled our definition of apparition from the last series of shows. So I'll put the link here in the show notes like I usually do. St. Margaret Mary had many visions of Jesus in which he asked her to spread devotion to his Sacred Heart. He instructed St. Margaret Mary on how to do it. As with the rosary, Sister was given the practice. She did not invent the devotion. Right? Remember, Dominic was given the rosary by Our Lady, or the Divine Mercy chaplet. Sister Faustina was given the chaplet by Our Lord. They don't, you know, walk along the beach one day and kind of come up with it. Pick up with the request of our Lord's feast day and the promises that go along with it. To the next time, fides, adratio.